Well, Greg, thanks for being here with us today.
Thank you, Aaron, for having me.
First week, a lot of ceremonial type things. You got sworn in, obviously, on Monday. And how was the whole experience with the first week, having never seen it before? There's a lot of things going on.
That was quite an experience. You know, you have family and friends in the gallery, and you have lots of people who've encouraged you along the way, and a lot of other freshman legislators, you know, going through the same kind of emotions. And you know, a lot of veteran legislators that have been there for several years, you know, expressing that, you know, the thrill is not lost on them either, you know, swearing in. And you know, you put your hand on the Bible and your right hand in the air, and you're swearing an oath to the Constitution of the United States and the state of Iowa, and doing to the best of your ability, so help me God. That's all of a sudden you start feeling this weight upon your shoulders. So it's kind of a mixture of emotions. You know, it's truly an honor to represent the people of the 28th district, and yet at the same time it's a huge responsibility as well.
Moving on through the week, on Tuesday the governor gave his annual condition of the state address. Groundwork for what he hopes can get accomplished this year, and we all knew kind of what it was going in. Property tax reform and his education proposal, which he also discussed Monday during his press conference. Any general reaction? I know we've kind of probably not worth rehashing that too much, as we've talked about it a lot, but any general reaction to what the governor said and what you can take out of it?
Right. Well, I think one thing that, as far as the House Republicans are concerned, you know, they do appreciate that the governor's budget proposal doesn't spend any more than what we're projected to take in ongoing revenues. And that's one of the principles. You'll probably get sick of hearing me saying that. As far as the House Republicans are concerned, there's going to be four principles that we're going to be using in our budgeting process. One, we're not going to spend more than the state collects. Two, we're not going to use one-time money for ongoing expenses. And thirdly, we're not going to balance the budget by intentionally underfunding programs. And then lastly, we want to return any unused tax dollars to Iowa taxpayers. And those are things that we appreciate that Governor Branstad had kept within those guidelines. And so that's something that we're going to use in our budgeting process. Obviously, the education proposal, it's a little pared down from what he proposed last time. And there's still going to be a lot of work there. It's a huge package to sort through. And I've been talking myself, and other representatives have been talking with the chair of the Education Committee, Ron Jorgensen, Representative Ron Jorgensen, and trying to get our input and make sure that there's certain things that are given attention. So there's just a lot of work. I know it's the first week, it's been ceremonial, but it's been quite of getting your feet wet, so to speak.
Talk a little bit about that spending proposal again, too, because I know there's been a lot of talk about the state of Iowa has a surplus. What does that surplus consist of, and how do Republicans want to use that?
Essentially, what we would like to do is, I'm going to change the terminology just a little bit. We're going to call it an overpayment, okay? I mean, you know, when you drive in the drive-thru at McDonald's and you order a value meal, and the person at the desk says $5, and you hand them a $20 bill, you'd be a little upset if they said, oh, look, a $15 surplus. And so what's happened is, in this last fiscal year, the state of Iowa, the taxpayers, have overpaid $688 million. Well, everyone's looking at it, you know, calling that a surplus, and they're already starting to divvy it up and cut it up. We say, hey, let's give that back to the taxpayers. Let's not just spend it just because we have it. The other thing is, too, to keep in mind is that, you know, we could spend that extra money in there. But if we were to spend everything we could by law, that would mean that we would have to see like a 9% growth in 2014 just to maintain that level of funding when the budgeting comes around the next time. So we don't want to be in that situation, because right now our growth rate is about 3.5%. So you know, if we were to spend everything we possibly could in 2014, we're going to put ourselves in quite a pinch, because we'd have to have, like I said, a 9% growth just to maintain that level.
Moving on to Wednesday, we can talk briefly about this. Chief Justice of the Iowa Supreme Court, Mark Cady, delivered his condition of the judiciary speech. Sure. He talked a little bit about some programs that he would like to see, some expansion of paperless systems throughout the court system, and talked a lot about some of the ways that they've been able to save money, too, and what they're looking for. What did you take out of that?
I think on this paperless system that the Chief Justice has laid out, I think that's a great idea. He wants to be on the cutting edge, and actually Iowa is on the cutting edge of getting all of our legal documentation onto electronic format. we're going to be the leader. We're going to be the ones setting the pace for the rest of the country. And I think this is a great vision that the Chief Justice has laid out. In fact, being one of the members of the Judiciary Committee, I actually had kind of a little bit of a preview several weeks before his speech, so I kind of knew this was coming ahead of time, had a chance to look at it, and I think that's a great idea. I think it's one thing, it's going to make our legal system more accessible because, you know, as everything we have now is online or, you know, on a CD-ROM or something like that, where people didn't have access to go buy these great big, you know, voluminous books, you know, to put on their shelves to look up code or case law or something like that. All this stuff is going to be, you know, electronically filed and easily accessible. It's going to cut down on a lot of waste and redundancy, I think. So I think that's a great idea that the Chief Justice has proposed.
As we wrap up today, too, I know you said you got to dig into your committee work a little bit, some committee meetings, some procedures, some more than procedure. Overall, how is that looking?
You know, right now we've some of the committees I'm on, it had just been merely you know, setting ground rules and setting up protocol and making introductions and getting to know one another on the committee. But there have been a couple committees that right day one we started handing out bills to just dive right into, judiciary being one of them, transportation being another one. And, you know, we've got a chance to, you know, in the campaign season, you know, there's a lot of, you know, back and forth, my team versus your team. A lot of that, I really appreciate seeing that we've put a lot of that aside, where, you know, there's a genuine a spirit of wanting to work together. I have members of the other party that sit right close to me, and fortunately we're on some of the same committees as well. And while we're coming back to our seats, you know, from a committee meeting, we're expressing an interest to work together and get things done and get things accomplished for the people of Iowa. And so that's been a really good experience as well. So it's been more than just ceremony. It's been a chance to network with other legislators across the state, get to know what interests there are in other parts of the state as well, and get to know why other representatives are there and what issues are important to them. So it's been a really, really good educational experience this whole week.
All right. Well, Greg, thanks for being here with us today, and we look forward to talking with you more.
Yeah, thank you, sir.